Wouldn't you agree that exercise is important? But how do you maximize your return on your time? What should you eat? What supplements should you take? And when is the optimal time of day to train? This is Todd in an episode 113 with Tyler Mounts, Amir Mofidi, and Dr. Alice Nguyen, and we're going to discuss how to have more productive workouts.
Hey guys, this is Jessica Watts, and this episode of Stark Naked Radio is brought to you by Stark in the OC, the world's first 360-degree gym, sharing the best tips and strategies to look better naked and perform at your best. For more information, go to www.starklife.us, or if you're in Orange County, just come on and stop by. And please, don't forget to hit the subscribe button and give us a 5-star rating on iTunes.
Stark Naked Radio.
From Southern California, where we talk about
strategy,
butts,
goals,
blood chemistry,
lifestyle,
IV therapy,
poop,
tips,
digestion,
and
science
to help you
look better naked
and perform at your best.
I want to see you get high and go low. Girl, won't you drop the thing down to the flow? I'm here for one night. How far can you go? I want to see you work out for me. Work out for me.
I don't think he's talking about exercise.
I don't think so either. There's no exercise in that song. Oh,
however, we are going.
But some of the tips that apply to pre-workout also apply to what he's talking about. So,
yeah, arginine.
And
yeah, like
transition to the main topic.
We'll have to talk about arginine.
Pre-workout.
Oh, pre-workout.
Pre-workout for me is a cup of coffee. And what's that stuff I put in my water?
Oh, are you jumping way ahead of things?
Like, it's not all about you, like, Todd.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
we're getting right into it.
Hold down.
I'm sorry. I've just had some pre-workout. I'm a little anxious.
So, Amir, why don't you tell us what we're going to talk about today?
Well, my idea, I feel like I'm blunted a little bit to my microphone.
On purpose.
Well, I did get blunted before I came into work.
Well, you also tend to get a little bit louder as you go.
That's,
so Jess
that's
was
your
probably,
pre-workout?
So my idea was talk about pre-workouts in general. Like the pre-workout industry is multi-million-dollar, potentially billion-dollar industry. What are some of the problems with mainstream pre-workouts? Are there any natural alternatives? You know, Dr. Alice, like, are there any natural alternatives to
horny goat weed
to pre-workout?
The answer for everything.
What are some of the side effects and things like that? What about people who work out early in the morning? What about people who work out after work later in the evening? And then we can even get into composition of meals pre and post.
Boom.
That was my idea. So
let's. Here's a good question. What is the, and I'm a bit tongue-in-cheek, but what is the best time of day to work out, Amir?
3 p.m.
Hi, Pammy Shine. New intern. She's walking by. Say hello to our audience.
Here, Pamela.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Into the microphone, though.
Right, yeah, say it with your accent. It sounds so nice. Say something in Portuguese.
So, can you guys understand me? And can you guys
understand
what is...
We hear you.
And you're Brazilian.
I was trying to make people understand which kind of accent do I have. I don't know. My English is not the greatest, but people understand me.
Yeah, Brazil will get this show in about 150 years. I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding.
Thank you, Pamela.
So, but this question comes up a lot. People say, oh, you should work out in the morning because then you burn more calories the rest of the day. Some people say, oh, but the only time, I don't know what to do because everyone says I should work out in the morning, but I only have time after work.
Is that a question?
Well, yeah. I want you to address this potential objection that people have.
My serious response is the best time to work out is when you can get it done. Like, if you said it's 11 hours from when you wake up because that's the peak of all of your good juju hormones, what if you can't? You have a kid, you have a job, you have responsibilities.
Yeah, so just don't work out.
But ideally, you do it according to your chronotype. Like, as an example, I'm a lion, and so I try to do it in the morning.
Who said you're a lion?
You're not a lion.
I think I'm a lion.
Oh, I don't think so.
I think I saw your results. Aren't you a bear?
You mean like the lion like from that. Madagascar?
I'm just a regular like bear.
Or the lion from Wizard of Oz.
We're all bears.
I know. I wanted to be a lion too, but I'm not.
So badly.
No. So, I mean, yeah, like there's like 7 to 11 hours, like whatever your like circadian rhythm kind of like, I mean, there is like if on paper, mathematically, probably an optimal time. But I mean, realistically, we're living in the 21st century. People are doing things. People have other responsibilities. So if you say that you should either work out at this time or not at all, and people will take it to that extreme, they won't work out. People are really good at justifying bad behaviors. Like, oh, if I can't work out at the perfect time, then I shouldn't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what do we always say?
So
don't let an inability to do what's optimal keep you from doing what's beneficial.
Now that said,
Yes,
I know.
Oh, Alice, you have to be a diva about it.
It has to be the buzzkill. I'm sorry. Bearer of bad news. So there is a natural cortisol rhythm during the day. Okay. So
yawn.
Anyways. So again, cortisol is supposed to be highest in the morning. You know, that's when there is a cortisol awakening response that actually wakes us up in the morning. And cortisol is supposed to be higher in the morning hours and tapers, of course. Now, a lot of the times you're going to see people have a massive dip in cortisol in the afternoon. That's why people need the coffee and all that stuff, or they need their afternoon naps, stuff like that. And for some people, if it's that dysregulated, then their cortisol will start climbing in at night. Now, why does this matter? This actually affects your sex hormones. So if you don't have proper circadian cortisol rhythm, you're not going to have normal hormones. So there is, you know, some debate right now. They do say that if you do have lower cortisol in the morning, that's actually when you should be working out, because exercise is a cortisol kind of stimulating activity. So
all exercise or just weight training?
So what you're saying is going to the gym and working out is a way to sort of artificially stimulate a cortisol production in the morning if it's low.
Morning, yeah. Or in the afternoon.
What if I intend to do Tai Chi?
That's fine, too.
That's also going to stimulate
cortisol. Okay, so, again.
People, yes.
I'm doing Tai Chi right now.
If you live in Orange County and you have to be in an office in L.A. at 8 a.m., you're probably not going to work out in the morning.
Yeah, so that's a good point. So you may work out in the evenings or after work or on your lunch break. One of the things Alice is talking about is this natural rhythm. So generally speaking, it's beneficial to have cortisol taper off into the evening.
Yes.
However, if the only time you have to work out is 7 p.m., you're going to have a spike in cortisol as a result of the exercise, which isn't ideal for sleep and for your circadian rhythm. However, you can do other things to help lower your cortisol post-exercise so that that time of day working out isn't as detrimental to your rhythms as it would be otherwise.
Yeah. I mean, we can't be perfect. I mean, we can't just work out in the afternoon or in the morning or any of that sorts. But, you know, just understand that there will be consequences if you actually do, you know, that type of activity. People work out late at night. I mean, you are spiking up your cortisol. Then if there's a spike in cortisol, you cannot upregulate melatonin. There is no melatonin production. But
you can do stuff after your workout to lower cortisol.
You can, but
more
still,
quickly,
it's
right?
It's not a fail safe, unfortunately. So there will be,
but
you know.
It's the best case scenario,
yes,
for some people.
Absolutely.
So what are some things you could do for the people that are out there that are late evening worker outers, what can they do after their workout to help lower cortisol production so that they can transition to restful sleep more effectively?
Nice warm bath.
Oh, okay. Warm bath.
Tea.
What if I have a stand-up shower? like sleepy time tea?
Yeah, sleepy time tea. That's good.
Or Tyler's tea.
But my favorite, if you go to, is it on the products page? If you go to
it's not.
Okay, it will be though. It will be though. Yeah. Todd promises.
I think our products page got hacked by the KGB.
No, it's back up. It's back up.
Got hacked by your people.
All the products are
my
there.
People.
Yeah, the Persians.
Americans.
So starklife.us/products. We'll have one up there. It's Holy Basil Sleep Tea by Tulsi, by Organic India. Or it's like Tulsi Holy Basil Sleep Tea by Organic India.
You can pick it up on Amazon.
It's the only, I've tried all the yogi bedtime teas, all this stuff. This is the only one that actually helps me sleep better.
Let's go back to the beginning.
Okay. By the way, Tyler, quick question about that. Does it make you feel sleepy?
Yeah.
Like just relaxed or like nodding asleep kind of thing?
Yeah, so when I drink that sleep tea, it actually relaxes me. Sometimes, depending on how tired I am, I start to nod off. It's pretty noticeable.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and is that a holy basil thing, Alice?
Well, holy basil is one of the calming adaptogens. So,
holy basil,
yeah. Batman.
Now, if you don't want to drink
sweet
tea,
kindergarten,
and if that's not strong enough, then we do like using other things like cortisol manager.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
That one's a really good one. That's basically contains a bunch of cortisol dampeners. So that's
Calm CP. That's another one, right?
Calm CP is another one. That's a different company.
I like that. I've been using that one lately.
But this
I like
one,
it a
this
lot.
One can good, have good. Like a social aspect to it, right? Sit down with your partner,
hang out, talk.
Have a conversation with her and fall asleep.
Yeah, because obviously, telling you the
what
story.
If they nag? We're
talking cortisol manager. You just fall asleep. Yeah.
So what happens is you drink the tea to offset the cortisol you get from your spouse.
Oh, Tyler!
Not me. I'm talking about other people.
He's not talking about you, Rachel.
I'm not talking about me. Yeah. Hey, I enjoy our tea time.
Some of us
Rachel.
Are henpecked, you know. They.
But yeah, so because, you know, a lot of times people are like when we tell them, you know, because we've talked about the no screen time.
Yeah.
And so some, you know, people are like, well, what am I going to do then? And so I like the tea.
Talk.
Hang out. Relax. You know, mm-hmm. If you don't have a partner, read a book, like a paper book, old school.
Let me read a book.
Okay. On it.
Okay,
let's
so
go
back to
the beginning.
Out.
Let's go back to the beginning. And by the beginning, I mean, what is are there any pros? And what are the cons of mainstream pre-workouts? And when I say mainstream pre-workouts, a dozen products come to mind. So there's no need to itemize those. What's up with those? What kind of ingredients do they have in common? What are some of the side effects? You know, aside from like jitters and stuff like that.
Number one pro for pre-workouts is caffeine.
It's blue.
And so, it's 17% strength from drinking things blue
and pink.
That
purple stuff tastes really good.
Caffeine. So
that's pretty much across the board on all
the
products.
There's very few pre-workout products that
there's a lot of window dressing too. They put a lot of ingredients, but with lower, in amounts that really don't have an effective dose. But they can itemize it on the label, which jacks up the price. So that's interesting. Dr. Alice, what are some of the issues?
Wow. There's a lot. First of all, the coloring, you know,
Purple,
like yellow, actually. I mean, I don't understand why you need to color these things. I mean, you're just going to drink it. Is this going to make it more appealing for you to drink?
Yeah, because if you drink something pink, it makes you think you're going to work out harder.
Or maybe like blue,
true.
Right?
Yeah, blue.
Yeah, blue, pink.
Blue,
pink, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, there is
just
some...
Sporty.
There is some data coming out in regards to some of these colorings causing issues with, kids, for example. Now, I know kids aren't drinking pre-workout, but I mean, come on. Most people that we see here are just big, giant kids. Anyway, so that's one thing that we have to consider. The other one is there are a lot of issues. There's the sweetener that they use. Is it aspartame? Is it Splenda? Is it, you know, some sort of artificial sweetener?
Is stevia okay?
Well, stevia is the least harmful.
Less bad.
Yeah. In fact, it's used quite nicely to block something called the formation of biofilms, and that's something that's for another topic. But you know,
what does that even mean? Is that a gut health thing?
Yeah, it's a gut health thing. So, but aspartame, not great.
So stevia can actually have some beneficial.
Actually, okay. It is used to help block biofilms, and again, that's another discussion.
And you want
discussion.
To block biofilms, or you don't?
You do want to block biofilms.
Oh, so
yeah.
Stevia is good.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. So
I'll block mine.
Yeah,
you know,
I'll block them for you.
Thank you.
If sugar is an issue with our patients and calories and whatnot, you know, that's something to consider. But a lot of pre-workouts will have B vitamins, for example. Now, what form of Bs are in there? Again, like B12 has at least like four different forms. Depending on the person's genetics, they're going to process one better than the other. Most of the pre-workouts that you're going to see is going to have like some, like, I don't know, crappy form of it.
Cyanocobalamin.
Yeah, that one.
Which is a B12 vitamin bonded to a cyanide molecule.
That
is cyanide.
Yeah, I mean, it can go on to, you know, form something like that, but not necessarily. Huh. But yeah, it's cyanocobalamin, hydroxyl, you know, methyl, other adenosyl. Those are the four main ones that we'll take a look at. But
so here's an interesting thing on that. And this is not a 100% fail safe method of doing things. But when you're looking at products that have B vitamins in them, which form of B12 is usually indicative of the quality of the rest of the ingredients?
Yeah, you would take a look at methyl. That's the more expensive one. That's the most bioavailable one. Again, if you have something called the MTHFR gene, the SNP, then you're going to have trouble processing some of the B12s unless it has a methyl group attached to it. Now, that said, that can also cause some problems as well, you know, depending on the person's genetics.
Okay. So I have in my left hand, for those who are listening.
My right.
A label from a very popular pre-workout.
Which one?
What's the name?
Are you kidding? No. So I'm just going to kind of read some of the stuff off, and then Dr. Alice, Tyler, Todd. Well, Todd, do you even drink pre-workout?
Like, never.
You drink sleepy time tea. Maybe. You like sleepwalk through your workout. So we got niacin and sodium. Alice?
Niacin's fine. It'll cause that flush. Okay. B3, excellent for but lipid control.
If you get niacinamide, that's
better.
You won't flush, right?
Or if you're Takahashi depends. From Revenge of the Nerds, it's a fresh. What about creatine monohydrate? I like it.
I mean, I'm
Me
okay
too.
With it. Yeah.
I take it every day.
But in 1.5 grams, that's a whole lot of farting against a hurricane. A whole lot of nothing there. Beta-alanine, I'm all right with that.
I'm all right with that, too.
But beta-alanine, you know when it's working when you start itching.
The tingles.
If you're not itching, it's not working.
I thought that was only certain people.
Most people. So taurine?
Taurine's great.
Isn't taurine inhibitory?
Depends.
Okay, it depends. Yeah. 500 mgs,
depends
is that an effective
on what?
Dose?
That's nothing.
Depends
so, so you heard it here, folks.
I take 40 times that a day.
lots of your grams. Your heart doesn't explode.
Wait, 20 grams?
Yeah.
So 500 milligrams of taurine, Isla says it is?
That's nothing.
That's nothing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
This bottle costs like 40 bucks. Okay.
And taurine is cheap.
Arginine, yeah. Well, arginine and inositol silicate.
Inositol is an insulin sensitizer. Also okay. Works with hormones.
Okay.
I'm that form, not sure. Myo-inositol? It depends on the form of
inositol. So they bound arginine and inositol.
Binded.
That's
I like to bind and be bound.
750 milligrams.
I can see that.
Arginine. That's
so
okay.
I've heard. So the thing is this is an interesting thing. Do you want to finish going through these? But
yes, please. And okay. I only have like 200 more ingredients. caffeine.
There we go. If we
okay,
have
so
anhydrous.
Got to have caffeine. Anhydrous, 190 milligrams. That's a lot for like a little person, but not a lot for a big person. So it kind of depends in this sensitivities. Choline.
Choline.
Choline's good.
Choline's good. Okay.
Yeah.
What about L-theanine or theanine?
L-theanine is supposed to be calming, so kind of weird that they. Yeah, I guess it's just there to prevent you from freaking out when you're taking all this.
Yeah, it's like okay. They're giving you an upper and a downer at the same time.
Yeah,
ooh,
yeah.
Ooh, this one takes me back. Yohimbine.
Mm.
That one takes me back.
Yes, that one is.
Yes,
I know people who freak out on that too.
Well, we have 20 milligrams of yohimbine.
Huh. Okay.
And 100, about pretty much 200 milligrams of caffeine. So would this require a great workout or an AED?
Well, how does that amount of caffeine translate to like a cup of coffee? 200 milligrams of caffeine.
It's
like 30% more.
Oh, okay. So it's just almost
like a big cup of coffee.
Yeah. Okay.
Like a venti.
And it's got FD and blue number one, which of course, you know.
Yes. One of the things is that probably one of the biggest negative side effects across most pre-workouts is going to be the negative effects it has on gut health. Because you've got all these artificial colors, you've got artificial sweeteners and those things, and things that regardless of whether you're talking about NO Explode or C4 or whatever, those things are going to be pretty much across the board rough on the GI tract. Is that fair, Doc?
Yeah, pretty fair, yeah.
Here's a warning that gets kind of buried, not intentionally buried, just people aren't going to read this warning. Do not combine with other sources of caffeine or stimulants. And I know,
unless you like to live on the edge,
I know people that will you know wake up, drink a cup of Joe, and maybe another or another, and then take their pre workout later in the day. Dr. Alice, are there any adrenals left after this sort of behavior?
Probably. I mean, yeah, no. It's just one of those things where it's like...
Meh. It's like a scorched earth for the adrenals, right?
Yeah, you're just kind of like, you know, this is not great. It's not great for that type
of... Okay, so, you know, pre-workouts get you to train harder, and that's good, I guess. But what are some of the natural alternatives? So if you were to concoct your bag of pre-workout, what?
I'd like to interject slightly before we start talking into things. There's this idea, there's a concept of about actually tailoring your pre-workout around the type of training you're about to do.
Okay.
So this is a really interesting thing. Derek Woodsky was talking to us about this a long time because some of the things that would be beneficial in a hypertrophy type training style may not be beneficial in a strength or power type training program and vice versa. So for example, so for example, if your goal is hypertrophy, things like blood flow and things that are going to be vasodilators and create and improve blood flow to the muscle tissue is going to be beneficial potentially. If you are going for strength, something that is going to increase power output, you know, or like maximal output, and as well as increased neural drive. Things like caffeine, using coffee, that kind of stuff. But coffee or caffeine is also a vasoconstrictor. So taking a bunch, if you're doing a bodybuilding style training where you want to get a big pump, taking something that's really, really high in caffeine may not be the right pre-workout for you. But if you're going for, you know, heavy 1, 2, and 3 RMs and you need, you know, maximal strength output, you need optimal neural drive, things like that, the other things are going to be different, as well as certain things like that will help like buffer acidity. So when you're doing like the bodybuilding style training, something with higher volume, more repetitions, and you're going to have a higher buildup of lactic acid in the tissue, what you can do with that is going to help influence one way or another whether or not you get a good workout. So there is an idea of is what works for one person or one training style isn't going to necessarily work all the time, which is part of the reason why these mass marketed pre-workouts are not ideal because they're not tailored to the style of training that you may or may not be doing.
Interesting concept. Amir, what do you think?
No, I agree. Yeah.
So are you guys suggesting that you take the ingredients that are relevant to yourself and your training style at that particular moment?
Yeah, I mean, I think so.
You can take caffeine separately. You can take taurine separately.
Exactly.
What's that vasodilator thing that you have me take?
That's Vasofill.
Vasofill.
Yeah,
take a supplement that's specifically for
Vasodilator. Yeah, so exactly. So like when when you're training for strength, you're drinking coffee pre-workout and things like that. But then when you're doing more volume-based stuff, maybe you're taking Vasofill and different things like that.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's smart.
Okay.
I mean, it's what we do, right?
Like, goodbye, just everyone.
You know,
I like IVs.
We custom tailor
stuff. IVs. Oh, what would you put in an IV?
Oh yeah. that was one of my things actually. So I don't know a lot about arginine, but I've heard that arginine actually is not a good ingredient for a pre-workout.
Depends.
I think it's all right for a pre-workout. Citrulline has shown to be a little better. I mean, not as much as training.
What would it depend on, Doc?
So it depends on what NOS system you're trying to basically.
What's an NOS system?
Nitric oxide system.
Whoa.
So synthase. So
do I have one of those?
I thought you were talking about software.
So now for you, you know, we.
You'd rather like the mainframe the firewires.
The firewires.
Wow. I believe if I recall correctly, arginine actually will stimulate the bad kind of NOS system. There's different ones. There's INOS, there's EONOS, whereas citrulline will actually kind of stimulate the good system. So
arginine's out, citrulline's in?
Well, no, it depends. Like I said, if you take arginine IV, it's actually one of the only ways to, you know, when it comes to IV nutrients that will boost growth hormone. That's kind of fascinating, too.
Ooh, that sounds delicious.
You know, when I first started working here, John Fraser, you know, big old... boulders to shoulders, you know, asked me. He what was great about John was that he was like down to experiment. So he came up to me and he said,
"Me too." Oh, like, I mean, you're talking about.
No, gosh. He came up to me. He's like, I need something, you know, an IV, a pre-workout IV. I was like, okay, well, let's just throw a bunch of things in together. And we did, and it was great. He came back to me later on. He was like, the thing that you gave me set my hair on fire. I was like, awesome, man.
So it's like pre-workout roulette? Like you just, like, closed your eyes and grabbed some nutrients?
No, of course not.
You know what my favorite pre-workout IV nutrient is?
MIC?
MIC, baby. What does that mean, Alice?
That's,
I don't even know. Yeah, I don't even know what that means.
God,
what is it?
Methionine inositol choline.
That stuff is the jam.
Well, I mean, first of all, it makes you feel high.
Yeah.
So your eyes start glazing over. Only in a push. It doesn't
so
happen
glue.
In a bag.
Yeah. It's just, yeah, it has to go in fast. You gotta punch that
pre-workout.
Alice, when you were talking about nitric
oxide. Yeah, crack is one hell of a pre-workout.
When you were talking about...
just a little.
Well, as long as it's organic.
That's one of the colloquialisms like people will use to describe pre-workouts. Like, oh, it's crack.
It's crack. Mm. Crack in the cup.
So when you say nitric oxide, I think Viagra. And before you think me being facetious, there...
Take Viagra to
do... I didn't say I take Viagra. What are you from? No, so I'm saying that it's a very potent performance enhancer because of its effect on nitric oxide. The Tour de France has shown this.
It's a vasodilator, right?
Mm-hmm. It's an extreme vasodilator.
So take that before like a hypertrophy workout?
If you take that and just like take a seat, take a test, your head explodes.
Your head explodes.
Gets swole.
Yeah, so that's a banned substance now, right?
I don't. Well, it's banned by the Olympic Committee, I think.
Yeah, the Olympic Committee.
I'm not sure.
Seriously, athletes were taking that as a way around the banned substance.
In the Olympics, some of the banned, like the suspended athletes testified under oath that Viagra was part of their regimen. And Team Sky, that does it's one of the teams on Tour de France, experimented with it, and they advocated that it should be banned because it does work. I don't know.
Interesting.
I don't know if it's actually made it to the list or not. So maybe someone wants to like.
We gotta get some Viagra up in here.
Yeah.
Throw it in your cup.
My biceps would explode. But Viagra is expensive. I would never pay that much money for a biceps workout.
But for a glutes workout.
Yeah, maybe for glutes.
Yes.
Spring for the glutes. Okay. How about Bang energy drinks? That's like all the rage right now, and they're marketing it heavily as, you know, because like Red Bull was like more, and Monster was more like extreme sports, like snowboarders and skateboarders and dirt bikers, but Bang is...
People with who wear spiked hair.
Well, so, yeah. And Bang is marketing itself more as a healthy alternative to these energy drinks, and they're specifically marketing it as a pre-workout drink. Hmm. So what is in Bang energy drinks? So it's similar. Okay. What's, no, here we go.
Bang.
Let me get my inner there's, it has super
proud sponsor. It has, of the NRA.
It has super.
They're probably going to sue me for that.
It has super creatine in it.
Super
That's
creatine.
So much better than regular creatine.
Yeah. Did you know what that, do you know what that is? It's,
that's freaking super.
According to the nutrition label, this so-called super creatine is bonded to leucine to make creatyl-L-leucine.
Whoa. There's your binding
thing
again.
What do you think? Is
superior?
Superior?
Anytime you bind it.
Yeah.
Not sure. I mean, leucine is super important.
Creatyl-L-leucine is
I've actually never heard of that, so I can't.
So what else is in it? Bang Energy Drinks has BCAAs.
Okay.
It also has... CoQ10.
What form of CoQ10 is that? They just say CoQ10. Is it ubiquinol or ubiquinone?
I don't have that information
yet. Okay, cool.
Let me see if I can find it.
How much super creatine is in a can?
Yeah, hold on. Let me. Pull
you can't
up.
Keep it
let
in
me
the
see
can.
If I can find the.
You can't keep it all in.
Like when you buy it, the top is already popped open.
It pops open. Bam! It just pops open randomly.
It's like Clint Eastwood in
and
the
you get
Escape
what
from
get.
Alcatraz.
You just get what's left in there.
Yeah. Hold on. Let me pull up nutrition back so I can see if I can get dosages.
Should we be doing this?
Doing what? like calling out names and stuff? Yeah.
I mean, whatever.
Bang people. Send us some samples and we'll try it out here. Just, we'll wear it. We'll do whatever you
say. This is our reverse psychology.
Just ask someone to bring...
Efficacy of a novel formulation of L-carnitine, creatine, and leucine on lean body mass and functional strength. But these are they're being given separate and higher doses of these three nutrients. So, you know, creatine monohydrate's been studied for like a couple several decades.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't, you know, kind of abandon that in lieu of something novel, but. But yeah. I'm old fashioned that way. I still, you know, call people.
What are you living in the early 2000s?
What you got for us, Tyler?
Yeah, what do you got?
All right, here we go. It's this is crazy.
It's crazy.
I don't know how to pronounce half this stuff.
phonetically. Remember hooked on phonics?
Hydroxypropyl distarch phosphate.
That sounds so sexy. Mm. Listen.
that's under total carbohydrates. Mm. Highly branched cyclic dextrin. I've heard of that one before.
Yep, I've heard of it. That's
highly
a low
branched.
That's a low not molecular weight carbohydrate.
That's supposed to be like, what do they call it? Like a slow burn carb?
Like a super carb, but it has like a different insulin response.
But there's only 10 milligrams of that, so.
What?
What?
Well, I guess they wouldn't be able to drink it. It'd be like sludge in a can like yeah. That's smart.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Makes sense.
Oh, this is... Wait, hold on. This might be the wrong thing. Hold on. This is
wrong product
this,
altogether.
Yeah, because they do have a whole series of things, so...
What Bang does?
Bang has a whole series of...
Full disclosure, I've only had one can, so I cannot say one way or another.
I've never had a Bang.
I've never had it either. So.
And when I had the Bang, I was at Palm Springs, and I didn't train. So I can't really...
Oh, you used it to get ready for the club?
To go clubbing?
Yeah, man. Say my personal life. What I do
pre clubbing.
What I do before going out to the discotheque is my business.
All right. So we've got
Iggy Pop was playing.
Natural flavors is an ingredient. Citric acid anhydrous, caffeine anhydrous, sodium benzoate, potassium citrate monohydrate, sucralose, L-leucine.
How much leucine?
Nah, it doesn't say.
Oh, it's a proprietary blend.
This is just on their ingredient list.
Okay.
Potassium phosphate dibasic.
I'm so basic.
Ascorbic acid. Acesulfame potassium.
He said ass.
Potassium sorbate.
So a lot of like...
Magnesium chloride.
Oh,
here's the super creatine. Here's this, the proprietary blend. Creatyl L-leucine. L-isoleucine, L-valine, calcium chloride, calcium disodium, EDTA, B3.
DDT? They put DDT in it?
EDTA.
I'd drink some DDT, bro. The last word I ever have.
B3, CoQ10, B6, and B12 as methylcobalamin.
Oh, wow. They actually had methylcobalamin. That's... Sounds like a lot of preservatives.
Niacinamides in there.
Okay, all right.
Can't let it go bad.
Pyridoxine hydrochloride for B6.
One serving size, 6 cans.
So I don't know. I mean, is it fair to assume that because this is an energy drink and it's on the same shelf in the 7-Elevens as Monster and Red Bull that this is not a good idea? Or do you think that maybe this actually is a legitimate pre-workout?
Well, a legitimate pre-workout meaning...
I mean,
it could be used for
good,
beer,
like, yeah. Like, what, no, yeah. I mean more like sorry, like a good ingredients, not gonna kill you. Like no, Alice is shaking her head.
I mean, it has sucralose in there, and that's not a big fan.
Okay,
of
not
that.
A big fan of sucralose.
And all those preservatives,
preservatives, natural
but
flavors.
But it has super creatine.
A super, you just put super in front of anything.
It didn't say anything about what type of CoQ10, Alice.
Okay, that's fine.
When I see the blue and the pink, I do have an adverse reaction. I just assume that, like emotional, that is. I just assume that, well, that's probably not a good idea to drink before every workout. I mean, if I had one drink a year with that, that's one thing. But, you know, when I try not to put preservatives in my body.
Well, the other thing, too, is there's something to be said about desensitization to these things. Like with caffeine and other things, you can build up a tolerance to it. And the reality of it is that if your natural energy production is so low that you can't get up for a workout without a pre-workout, then odds are eventually you won't, that pre-workout, you eventually won't be able to get up for a pre-workout. So, I mean, this isn't really where Amir wanted, like, you know, we say like, oh, how do you have a good workout? Get a good night's sleep. Yeah, that's, we're talking about.
Yeah, I didn't want that to be the direction.
Yeah, there is something to be said though, like the an over-reliance on pre-workouts or stimulants and things like that shows you that like you're really putting a Band-Aid on the problem. So in terms of there's some probably some things that you can do on a more regular basis to sort of like kind of like give you that extra little bit for a workout. But, it, you know, the reality of it is there's nothing, at least long term, that's going to take you from, hey, I feel like crap, I am tired all the time, I don't want to train, to, yeah, let's freaking, you know, rip the roof off the gym kind of training. Mm-hmm. So
it's super creatine.
Super creatine.
Lid off this joint.
CoQ10. I like that. So that'll give
really,
you a heart attack.
I really enjoy the nootropics, like the brain enhancers. I'm a big fan. Now, in the mainstream market, you may not find them without preservatives or like artificial ingredients, just for like masking taste, because the ingredients by themselves can be quite bitter.
Like GPC type,
like
stuff,
alpha GPC. You have ginkgo biloba. I don't know, and there's some other that I need to take mine because I can't remember them. this fish oil's not working, Alice. I'm taking like 30 grams of fish oil a day.
Great. Oh my god!
So there's some.
I'm going to be cast as the extra in Shape of Water.
Oh my god!
So there's some. Products out there, like I don't really know if this is how you say it.
Stunt double.
It's part of the Neurohacker Collective.
Yes.
But like Qualia. Nutrimins. These are going to be some products that are going to have. They usually have caffeine. And they usually have some of the stuff that you're talking about, Amir, as well, like alpha GPC and stuff. The problem is that I think that those kind of products will fall into something that will work for a certain type of training, but not another. Like these nootropic supplements, because they have a lot of caffeine, a lot of things focused at like neural stimulation, are going to apply really well in the strength and power realm, but less so in the volume-based training systems. Makes sense.
Well, if you're doing the volume based training system, like a pinch of sea salt and some beet juice is, you know, pretty cost effective, and the training will take care of itself. Then you gotta go home and eat your chicken and rice or whatever. Mm-hmm. Some of these, like huperzine, yep. Cognizine, citicoline, macuna matata.
Macuna matata. what a wonderful phrase!
It means no worries.
No.
Hakuna Matata.
So that one is in fact for focus. That's to boost dopamine. So that's the precursor.
So is that what about boosting dopamine before a workout? Is that good or no?
Great.
It's great.
Yeah, dopamine.
Other than you might feel good, and will it actually help anything, or is it just going to make you feel good and want to train, kind of thing?
Yeah, it's going to give you that motivation to train. It's going to make training enjoyable because, you know, we'd rather just lie around all day sometimes, right?
Is there something to that, like finding things or putting yourself in an environment that makes training more enjoyable and more motivating without an external boost for that? Like a nutritional boost, whereas like finding the right, you know, playlist or like the right outfit or going to the right kind of gym, like the right atmosphere. If I go to a gym that's empty, pre-workout or no pre-workout, it's kind of it's a snoozer.
Mm-hmm.
But if I go into like a place that's rocking, and like that's part of the appeal of like these boot camps and CrossFits. It's like, it's not the workout, like the geniusly orchestrated workout, like do this 100 times and then go. It's a social kind of like, everyone's kind of feeding off of each other's nervous systems, so to speak.
So let's transition into what we all personally do to have great workouts.
I sleep.
Personally,
like what I do pre-workout, I start listening to my workout playlist before my workout starts. That is one thing for certain.
What's one song on your playlist?
Well, the longest running
rock
song,
superstar on Cypress Hill has to be
the
in
longest
there.
Running song I've had in my playlist from 1999 is "Welcome to the Jungle" by Guns N' Roses.
Of course.
I also wear my workout outfits like intentionally. I know like Lululemon's big and all that stuff, but I wear shirts that motivate me to enjoy training more. I mean, it sounds silly, but it's silly. Fine, that's good, but it gets me to enjoy my trip because I'd rather be lying down. Hmm. I don't want to be like lifting heavy stuff that don't need to be lifted.
I drink coffee. I love coffee before I work out.
Yeah. Mm. Coffee is excellent for me. That and maca and green tea extract.
I don't like coffee before workout.
Yeah. Really?
I like the anhydrous form myself. I just don't like feel like a barrel of liquid before training. Mm. Personally, Todd, what do you
having
do before workout?
Having a training partner.
I take Alice's vasodilator supplement. What's it called again?
Vasofill.
Just pour it in my water. Drink
it. Who makes it?
Integrative Therapeutics.
Is it on our products page?
Yeah, workout partner.
I really like beet juice. Like I like how it tastes, so I take that sometimes too.
I say a workout partner is great because
why salt though? Why did you say add salt to your beet juice,
Alice?
Salt is very good for you.
it's an electrolyte and it enhances the
beet chips.
Beet chips.
Oh yeah.
So what's interesting is that I think there was, I can't pronounce his last name. It's Bob something or other.
Notaro
something. Anyway, he wrote the book, The Salt Fix. So he's a PharmD PhD researcher on salt. And I was listening to a podcast. He would actually put a full teaspoon of some sort of like pink salt or red salt into his water as his pre-workout. He uses it as a pre-workout.
Just drink salt water.
Yeah, and I tried that and I threw up.
And it helps relieve pain in your gums.
Can it make you poop your pants? A lot of salt?
I don't know. I don't know. Again, you have to build up to it. I'm pretty sure he's built up to it and also his...
I can't work out with females.
Why?
Because it's not... I mean, I like to work out around females, but not directly with them because I always wind up teaching them shit and I don't like it. Now, that's best personally because I've been doing this as a profession for 18 years. It's not the same as like someone else who's like an accountant working out with another accountant happens to be like, that's not what I'm saying. Like for me, it always turns into a lesson and I hate it.
True. I mean, I loved working out with my
and I hope I triggered everyone.
Triggered everyone.
I have to eat 50%. Before I work out.
You have to eat?
I have to eat. I will eat within 30 minutes of a workout.
What kind of, Tyler, food, what kind of macros are you eating before?
Workout partners. I thought you were going to go into food.
Oh. you talked about it already.
Yeah, but I said
I usually like something
triggering.
I like some protein. I generally don't like a lot of carbs before I train.
What about after?
After, I love carbs after, yeah.
The anabolic window is...
Anabolic window!
Like, it is
three
not...
3 hours,
it is not as
carbs.
Severe as people think.
Carbs are invisible from a caloric standpoint within 3 hours of your workout.
The sports nutrition, kind of like nutrient timing thing, kind of like shattered the industry. It was like, the second you're finished with your last rep on your last set, you should be drinking a post-workout shake. Otherwise, your gains are out the window like a phantom, and they just disappear.
The anabolic mansion.
That... is a little exaggerated. It exists, but not to the dire kind of Indiana Jones slide under the wall that's coming down sort of effect.
Yeah, but I protein, anything with a little bit of protein. I would have some jerky or something before a workout.
Just protein?
Also, yeah, just protein is good enough for me, but also some stuff that has some fats would be good too.
Alice, whenever your eyes shrink,
I would rather eat carbs before my workout than train on an empty stomach.
Okay.
But I would prefer something that was protein and fat based.
Are carbs, you guys, is that consensus? You guys generally think that you should not be eating a lot of carbs before a workout?
Well, if your carbs are, like, if your exercise is, like, tell a Tour de France guy to not eat carbs, you've doomed him to failure, right?
I think there's
regular training that's less than an hour, you don't need a bunch of carbs.
Yeah, but I also think there's, like we talk about, there's a lot of room for preference and tolerance. Like, I know, Amir, you said if you don't have a little bit of carbs, you feel a little flat sometimes when you train.
Yeah, a little bit.
Libido, like, not
like
a lot.
Like a little bit. Like my workouts are not that long. If they're like 90 minutes, if they're 2 hours, mm-hmm. like one, why are you training that long? But like if you're talking about growth or something like that, maybe because you're working out with heavy loads, maybe you're resting 5 minutes between sets. But those workouts aren't that carb dominant anyway. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you don't have to like, oh man, I got to get my Rith before you snatch something. Like, you know, a little meat would do fine. Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard of wearing red for your workouts?
Like a bull in the china shop kind of thing? like a matador?
Yeah, because red is like an empowering color.
That gets me shot when I wear red.
Has been shown to increase performance, according to some website here on the internet.
Oh, wasn't I just...
You'll be seeing me.
Wasn't I just anecdotally talking about, like, you know, wearing certain things to, like, motivate you? And now...
According to the international...
You need more cognizine and huperzine.
According to the Nature International Journal of Science, red enhances human performance in contests.
Huh. So wear a red shirt after taking Viagra.
I read this a long time ago. I think it was like some football stadiums. Not that I watch football much, but the visiting team locker, they would actually paint the colors like a cool blue or something like that to lull them into like a sense of
lavender,
like, calmness or something like that. It's kind of interesting.
That works if you win. You know.
But, I don't know about the color thing. That's kind of interesting.
I mean, it makes sense, right? Certain colors, you know, evoke certain emotions mm-hmm. and certain feelings. And if it's in your head, it's in your body. And good. Mm-hmm. Whatever.
Whatever.
Now, going back to what Amir was saying earlier about working out with someone, I personally like working out with a woman who is stronger than me.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
But you are
a woman.
Well, you know.
There's a lot of women like that. So
but that's again, that's highly individualized too.
Yeah.
Like for people who, like for me, if I know I've got to work out and I want to push myself, but I don't feel like I really have it to kind of like, you know, grind it out myself, like having someone train, because I naturally get a little competitive. And so, you know, like I've been working out with Justin Chang lately, and he's a pretty strong guy. And so I'm like, I want to show off to him a little bit, you know, so I push the weight loads a little more, and that's good. But at the same time, for other people, it might be the opposite. Like some people maybe aren't as competitive, or they get intimidated and they need someone more like equal in fitness. And so the type of person, and you know, like Amir, it's a man, not a woman, or it's nobody, cause he's really grouchy when he trains.
Pretty true. And that's accurate.
So, I mean, you can kind of, the right type of person may be individualized fit in terms of what would be best for helping you stay motivated.
In jiu-jitsu, they call them professors when they're black belt level and they're teaching. Would tell me that I should train with three different types of people. Now, this might not be applicable, because I haven't done it, and you might not have three different people to work out with. One, you should train with someone who's better than you, like kind of like what Tyler was talking about, like kind of like or Alice, like someone to try to step up to meet. One person who is weaker than you, so you can kind of feel good, like you can like put some weight around, feel pretty good about them by yourself, and one person who was on the same level with you. Now, I don't know what
so
that
you should
would
work out with everyone.
Yeah. Well, like
including women.
Then I'm always wind up spotting them while they're squatting. It's just
no,
like,
it's annoying. Like I
a front,
really
a front spot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I personally find it really annoying. Like my first strength coach, you know, I eventually got to a point where I was, you know, at her level, and she, you know, she could squat way more than me.
What's
she
her name?
Bench.
What's her address?
Alicia Fong.
Danielle.
She. Her name was. She's
Alicia
Asian. Yeah, she's Asian.
White girl?
She's no. What? She's actually a Chinese lady who was born in Mexico, so she has like this Chinese Mexican accent. Really funny. But anyway, like I found that to be awesome. Like she was stronger than me. It was like something for me to chase. When I train with women who are weaker than me, I actually find it kind of annoying. So,
exactly.
But that's kind of my mentality. The same thing in martial arts. I, you know, was used to training with champions who are better than me. It was my aspiration.
So everyone,
you can go suck it.
So there's times where I've enjoyed training with people who were less experienced in like when I go through periods where my training motivation is lower, training with people who are more novice trainees or less advanced, I like training with them because they bring kind of an enthusiasm to it. Mm-hmm. And so they're not pushing me to train harder or lift more weight or whatever, they do a good job of helping me gain enthusiasm for the workouts, which is kind of a cool way to, you know, you can kind of, like I said, you can adapt who your training partner is based on where you're at in your own training cycle.
Yeah, this is all kind of under the presumption of working out kind of alone-ish, but there are a lot of people, smart people, who train with a coach. And the coach,
like all of our wonderful students,
coach should be responsible for being that energy drink. Mm-hmm. Like if you're not, they can be brilliant and sophisticated and great coaches, but if they're not bringing that fire, like you need to maybe like go be a librarian, because there might be something that you could be doing better with your time. Like, I mean, some people maybe want someone more docile, but it should be more motivating working with someone who is guiding you than, you know, on your own or pre-worked out or whatever.
What about, anyone have any meditation practices that are good for pre-workout?
I pray.
I've never done that.
Do you? Especially before big lifts. Especially before big lifts, I will pace in front of the lift, and I will mutter either a little bit out loud like a madman, or internally words of worship.
Interesting. Tyler,
I don't really meditate before my workout. There are, like, in the Headspace pack, they have some like competition related like practices, but I haven't really used them much.
Do you?
No, never.
So why'd you bring it up?
I didn't.
I brought it up.
Why did you bring it up through Tyler? How did you do that?
Inception.
How did you telepathize that knowledge? But yeah, I actually love that practice. I enjoy it very, very much. I mean, it falls flat for bodybuilding stuff. Like, what am I praying for? Like, fucking give me more biceps? It's like, nah. But there's something about overcoming a great hurdle or an object that has a spiritual merit for me.
That makes sense.
Cool.
Yeah, man.
What else? Any other tips?
Can we bottle that?
Any other pre or post workout things that people find really good?
Classical music post-workout brings me down. I love it.
Really?
Like, I switch from, you know, Rage Against the Machine to Beethoven's Ninth, and it's just like, ooh, like brings me, I almost feel like more flexible as I'm winding down from it. So as far as bringing cortisol down, I'm like, I sit down, I drink my workout shake to make sure the anabolic window doesn't close.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, even though the window is larger than we thought, like, that doesn't mean like, you can still have a shake. It's not a problem. So I do like...
If you don't have a protein shake within 15 minutes, what's the point of working out?
You actually start drinking it before you start working out. And then by the end of your workout, you're done with your post-workout shake. And then you just eat a meal at Arby's.
Arby's. So gross.
Roast beef.
Unless anyone else have any ones they want to mention?
Well, I actually don't eat for an hour after.
72 hours. Jessica, what about
an
you?
Hour?
No, don't eat.
No, Jessica is thinking, has no microphone, so even if she had an answer, she would not be able to give it to us.
She's going to telepathize to you, and then you'll tell Tyler.
What do I do pre-workout?
Nothing.
No, I do. Okay, I take pre-workout. I take the blue stuff and the pink stuff that you guys were talking about.
You just don't really care.
Yeah, and I'm young and I bounce
together,
back.
Mix them together so it makes brown.
Yeah. No.
A brown pre-workout.
No, I drink a pre-workout and I do the same thing as Amir. I start playing my workout playlist before I get out into the gym. Just gets the mind right.
I like that one. Then, I don't so much like the other one.
Yeah, well, okay. But yeah.
With that, Jess, why don't you sing for us?
This song is dedicated to my pre-workout. Okay. Okay.
Okay.
'Cause it makes me that much stronger, makes me work a little bit harder, makes me that much wiser. So thanks for making me a fighter.
I like it. Good call. Nice. Thanks, Jess.
Excellent.
For more tips and strategies on how to look better naked and perform at your best, go to www.starklife.us. And please don't forget to hit the subscribe button and give us a 5-star rating on iTunes.